Hey everybody, this is Corey Poindexter.
And it's Bob Feckety.
Today on Small Package, we're running down the Extreme Rules card.
Extreme Rules card.
Where is Sasha Banks? Favorite stipulations, recapping Raw quickly, that and more.
Whole ton of wrestling stuff.
Today on the newly revamped Small Package.
Small Package.
All right, you ready to do this? All right, everybody, hello and welcome to Small Package.
Hey, it's Small Package, y'all.
We are back.
What's this, episode 3?
This is episode 3.
I mean, whatever.
All right, so recapping from 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
Oh,
I'm
Jesus.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Couple of big announcements. So we took a little bit of time off.
A lot of life happened.
And you know how that goes. Sometimes you got to prioritize, and unfortunately, Small Package got put on the back burner. But we are back. Couple of big announcements about us being back. First of all, Bob has come to the dark side.
Sure.
And we've officially, you know. There was this, will they, won't they, are they going to commit, is the couple going to happen? People were shipping it hard, and it happened. We're just a wrestling podcast.
Only wrestling. I mean,
we might talk about stuff. I don't want to say only wrestling, because, you know.
Wrestling focus.
We might, you know, play around a little bit. Talk about some of the stuff on the side.
Side stuff.
Yeah, Bob came to the dark side, and we are officially...
Anyway, let's just move on.
Also, I have personal big news. Bob, I don't know if I've told you, but I had a spiritual awakening, and I am born again. I'm a born again Mark.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Because nobody knows everybody what the fuck you're trying to talk about.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
What?
Since nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about.
I've decided that I'm going to try to be a little bit less smarky. I'm going to try to just sort of get into the storylines a little bit more. That's what I'm going to make an attempt to do. Because honestly, it's too frustrating and draining to try to constantly overanalyze and overcriticize.
I understand where you're coming from, but I feel like as of late, so much, if you try to just go with the story, so much of it, you just have to kind of go, okay, sure.
Well, on one hand, I will say that not all of the stories that they're doing right now are A-plus stories. But
they do have some decent stories going right now.
They have some decent ones going, and then also they have like some continuity to some of these stories, because right after WrestleMania, they kind of dropped the ball with the whole, you know, stipulations didn't matter and nothing that happened at WrestleMania mattered, so everybody was really frustrated. But it's almost like it was like a reset button, and that the stories they've done since WrestleMania, they've stuck to, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can't think of any that, I mean, aside from injury-related changes, too many stories that got super derailed. You know, League of Nations dissolved, but that was because they were only there to be foils for the face Wyatt turn that
which
didn't happen.
Never happened.
Because Bray got hurt. So I don't think that there's really that much that they've like waffled on. And in fact, you know, The Golden Truth story got a continuation through WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it's still going.
What is that, like 4 months of build-up? Something stupid?
Even longer.
Jesus.
Anyway, so it's obviously been a while since we've had this podcast, and the state of wrestling has changed a little bit. So let's kind of go over the last week of wrestling, now that SmackDown has finished airing. We can go over the this week in wrestling. Well, this week in WWE. I mean,
this
don't want to call out all of wrestling because then we're gonna get all those crazy smarks online. Oh, like, you didn't talk about New Japan,
Ring of Honor, and Lucha Underground. Hopefully, maybe in the future, Bob and I will get around to watching more than just SmackDown, Raw, pay per views for WWE. We will see how that goes. But for now,
I don't know if I have the dedication to it, to be honest.
You know, because the thing is, like, I make a concerted effort to watch NXT, and even though I enjoy NXT more than I enjoy WWE a lot of times, I just find that the added level of commitment sometimes I just can't make happen, because right? There's just so much other stuff.
WWE Extended, that's not even going into any other leagues and promotions and regions. And
I have friends who can constantly follow, like CZW and like smaller promotions and like Chikara, and I'm like, that's awesome that you can follow that. I do what I can with what I'm given from WWE, and I make the best of it.
But anyway.
Okay.
So women's wrestling has drastically improved since Mania, and it's really great. And so
the women's championship,
the first ever quote unquote women's champion is Charlotte still, and Charlotte has held the belt and has continued to hold the belt, and it is up for contention at Extreme Rules, which we'll get to at the end of the show. But so Charlotte versus Natty has been the premier women's plot.
Yeah.
But we've also got some Becky versus Emma, but that just got sidelined because Emma's injury. So now it's Becky versus Dana.
Yeah.
Which is the new stand-in for Emma, more or less.
Right.
Outside of that, that's pretty much all the
Sasha hasn't been on TV as much. WWE claims that they have their reasons, storyline-wise, of why they're keeping her off. I don't understand, because you can't exactly push someone who's not on TV.
Or mentioned at all.
And I know that she's super over in that there's constantly chants for her of "We want Sasha." And that when she does make the appearances, there's a huge pop for her. But I don't buy into this whole theory of you can build someone by keeping them off of TV. The exception to the rule, the only exception to the rule,
is Brock Lesnar.
Is Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar is the exception to many WWE and wrestling in general rules. So that's its own thing.
Brick lard nard.
But the U.S. belt has been a complete joke. Has been relegated to the pre-show time and again.
Yeah.
It's just been
a little bit
on Kalisto this whole time. It's hopefully it'll get on Rusev at Extreme Rules again. We'll get to Extreme Rules at the end of the show. But
Kalisto hasn't been. His in-ring performance.
In-ring performance has been fantastic.
Just like the Usos.
He's been doing some really good stuff in-ring, and I really enjoy watching Kalisto
matches. And Ryback, before he had his meltdown, we can maybe talk about that later.
But
Ryback got better, too, with him in the ring.
It's just, they keep putting it on the pre-show, and they keep making people not care about it. Like, you can't tell people to care about a title match when you have it in a half-empty stadium 30 minutes before when people actually turn on your television.
And I think the biggest problem with Kalisto having the belt in particular is I like Kalisto's in-ring performance. I view him a lot like the Usos. When the bell rings, the Usos are cool. They do cool moves. The double team super kick is awesome.
Right, they're fun to man. Watch.
The Uso,
they get the crowd going.
I hate the name of the move, but that Uso crazy dive thing, that's cool. But the problem I have with the Usos, and I feel like it's the same with Kalisto, is that when the bell rings for the start of the match, I'm like, oh wow, look at the move. And then when the bell rings that the match is over, I'm like, oh wait a second, your character's like super, super bland, and I'm not into it. Kind of at all, and then I just don't care anymore.
Kalisto is just kind of like, hey, remember when Rey Mysterio was a thing? Well, I'm not Rey Mysterio, but I kind of look and sound like him.
And also, like, the thing with Sin Cara is they got, like, you know, so Kalisto and Sin Cara, I mean, Sin Cara in his resurgence, got super popular and over with the crowd as the Lucha Dragons, and the Lucha, it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to Lucha my ass off.
I kind of enjoy them as a tag team, and I actually don't mind, like I said, bell to bell, I don't mind Kalisto as a singles competitor. Even Sin Cara in the WrestleMania mm-hmm. ladders match mm-hmm. didn't botch and was cool. But, like, also, they're really making Kalisto's character look like an asshole, because, like, wasn't it on Raw when Alberto Del Rio was fighting Kalisto in-ring, and then backstage they showed on the Titantron that Sin Cara was just getting smashed by Rusev, and Kalisto didn't, like, I mean, as the face, you might expect him to, like, dive out of the ring and help his buddy out, his tag team partner, and instead it was just sort of like, nah, I'm gonna continue to fight this losing battle to ADR and get pinned by the not number one contender.
I think that was more, excuse me, I think that was more just supposed to be like a distraction move.
Right.
It's supposed to be like, oh man, you're going up against ADR. This is going to be a tough match. Oh, now we're going to show your buddy getting destroyed. How can you make it through this match? Oh, you can't. Haha, you suck.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't liked the development of his character. And like you were saying, I mean, it goes to your point of the U.S. belt has been kind of wasted, but the IC title.
The IC title is really, it's honestly the one to watch. Because obviously, it's for four people, which, again, the more people going for a belt, the more that makes sense in a quote-unquote sports storyline. Like, every single person there in storyline should be trying to be the next World Heavyweight Champion.
Or at least and some champion.
If they aren't up for World Heavyweight Champion,
tag team,
then they should be moving up their way to a place on their way. Like, that's just how it is. Like, and if you look at professional wrestlers aren't competing in professional wrestling to not win.
I mean, and the thing is that there are feuds you can carry without belts, and I think, like, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, great example.
Uh-huh.
Because that feud
that has story, a
great story.
Yeah.
And there are feuds that are like
and it's a great story outside of being related to a belt, outside of being related to a match, outside of being related to anything. It's something that they can tell for years.
Yeah. And I think that there are times where you get that perfect storm of writing and characters where you come up with, you know, those feuds that need no belt for it. But my problem is that, like, in the old days, it used to be like, it wasn't just Roman Reigns and AJ Styles going for the heavyweight championship. I mean, you know, you look at it back, you know, I hate to go back to the Attitude Era, but, like, there were times where there's, like, four or five guys who were constantly, it wasn't just like, oh, well, I lost the number one contender Royale.
Yeah, I guess I'll just step down and hang out until my next attempt at the shot.
Fuck no. Everybody was going right? for the title, whether it was the heavyweight
why, or
the
championship. That's why, like, yeah, we have a good feud right now between AJ and Roman, but, like, Dean should also be like, I want that belt, and Sheamus should also be like, I want that belt, and Alberto Del Rio should also be like, I want that belt.
That plane flying over my house should be like, yo, I want that belt.
But seriously, like, if there isn't a wrestler who goes on TV and expresses some desire to win and become a champion,
they're a liar and a charlatan.
That feels like a wasted opportunity.
It is true. And there
it seems like so much like the Ambrose Jericho feud. Is it entertaining? Hell yeah. Ambrose and Jericho are masters on the mic. They know how to work a crowd. They know how to make something fun and entertaining to watch. But at the end of the day, what is it? Like, what is it? It's just kind of a match between two guys because, Like, I get that they're
in a steel cage match that you cannot escape from with weapons on it that TNA did first.
But hush.
I mean, there are some good feuds going on right now on the WWE main roster. There's some that are a little bit confusing. I don't quite see myself getting invested in Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler, so I hope they wrap that shit up quickly.
Especially since they've faced each other off now, not even exaggerating, what, 10 times?
It's a lot. And also, it's unfortunate that Enzo's out, but they need to figure out something for Big Cass, because squashing D'Von Dudley on Raw and then doing another New Day Cass versus Vaudevillains Dudley Boys, I think that's the second or third time they've done that match since Enzo got hurt. They keep giving these matches away in a way that it's like, how many times are we going to see the Usos versus the Club Sandwich? How many times are we going to see AJ versus Roman before the pay-per-view? It's just like, I get that there's definitely story elements that they need to tell. They need to have face-offs and promos. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Maybe, possibly have a match.
One or two.
That could end
but
in
like not
shenanigans.
Like every single Raw ends up in a brawl. Every single SmackDown ends up in a brawl.
To quote like, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're giving away the damn match for free on cable. You can't do that. You're building it up for a pay-per-view. I mean, back in the old days of wrestling, the two people would not face each other. They often wouldn't even see each other, like a fucking bride before the wedding, you know, until the pay-per-view, and then all of a sudden, that's when they'd have the brawl and everyone would be.
That's when the big clash would happen. So two forces colliding. But anyway,
I'm gonna run down, and I mean run down.
Yeah.
What happened on Raw and SmackDown for this week? So this is Raw from May 16th. AJ cut a promo on Roman. Zayn and Owens defeated Cesaro and Miz in a very interesting tag team that Stephanie pulled out of the fire from Shane. That was kind of cool. The Shining Stars finally made their debut. Epico and Primo, we'll get back to it. Epico and Primo finally debuted as the Puerto Rican Shining Stars, and they defeated
two local jobbers
who were actually, by the way, NXT guys.
Huh.
And that's why the name Skyler was on the one guy's trunks, is that those are NXT guys who are not named Brian Kennedy and Scott whatever. They thought that they were going to get a shout out from Michael Cole for being on there. Instead, Michael Cole's like, two local
local jobbers,
North Carolina jobbers. Dana Brooke defeated Becky's lunch. Breeze and Fandango, and I think they're called Breeze Dango or something like that, defeated the Golden Truth. New Day did their Bygone Era Time Machine promo,
which we'll get back to that.
Uh-huh. The Usos defeated the Club.
Yep.
Reigns had a chair shot on AJ. Then AJ's did the Styles Clash on the chair on Roman. Big Cass defeated D-Von in, I think it was like a minute and 20 seconds. It was crazy. Alberto Del Rio defeated Kalisto while Rusev beat Sin Cara up and down the aisle. And then the contract signing for the Women's Championship, where Ric Flair is not only banned from ringside, but if he shows up, Charlotte will forfeit her title to Natalya. And I think that, I don't know if they announce it, if there's a DQ, it'll go to Natalya, but I imagine that with
No, it's a no DQ match.
I know it's a submissions match, but is it a no DQ?
I'm pretty sure. Like it's a no DQ submission match.
If it is not a no DQ, I imagine them doing shenanigans that doesn't involve Ric Flair, and then Shane coming out and being like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! That may be how these matches used to end."
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway,
SmackDown.
Run down a SmackDown.
SmackDown from 5/19. Kevin Owens defeated Cesaro via distraction by Miz and the Zayn Master. I don't know why I'd opted to call him that. The Ryback. I'm just going to start doing that, adding the before every wrestler.
Uh-huh.
So the Kevin Owens defeated the Cesaro off of a distraction by the Miz, followed by the Zayn. Dana Brooke defeated Paige. Rusev cut a Lucha will now be Machka promo, and I'm making that the sign that I'm bringing to Extreme Rules. Oh, yeah. Spoilers real quick. We are totally going to fucking Extreme Rules. We are stoked. And we are planning on bringing some kind of a recording device so that we can record some pregame, pre-kickoff show podcast kind of thing for you guys. And then possibly even, I don't know, immediately afterwards with special guest Mo, maybe? Who knows?
Potential Mo Mozich. Friend of the show, Mo Mozich.
Friend of the show. Big shout out. We're giving that rub. That rub from the small package. Don't say that out loud, kids. So Ziggy defeated Shamey.
Oh, Ziggy.
Oh, that Ziggy.
The Ziggler defeated the Sheamus.
And that poor Shamey. Poor Shamey. He never got to see the sun. Chris Jericho was like, I'm crazier than Dean Ambrose in the ring. And then Dean Ambrose wore a fake
beard and mustache.
Beard. I don't. Just roll I don't understand
on.
Just this.
Roll on.
New Day and Cass defeated Vaudevillains and Dudley Boys again. And then Reigns technically defeated Gallows via DQ when AJ told him to bum rush the ring.
But
and
it was
then,
just a brawl thing.
And the brawl continued until it went off the air into Fast and the Furious 5, which is where I think we should pick up.
Anyway.
Fast and Furious 5's intro was way more interesting than that brawl.
So that's that. That was wrestling this week.
We will not catch you up on everything since our last podcast. That's it. You guys can find your own.
Figure it out.
Find your own.
It's already added to the network by now. $9.99. So the highlights here. Obviously, the number one thing that I think Corey reacted to all week was the New Day promo. You were like about to pass out from laughing.
I love New Day promos. I will say this. I loved it. Looking back on it, it felt like the North Carolina crowd was a little flat and unresponsive to it. I mean, not nearly as unresponsive as they were to Epico and Primo's debut, but I mean, that shit was just...
Who gives a shit about them? Honestly.
I don't know if they do.
Like, they don't seem like they do. Like they
come
just
to Puerto Rico. When we come out here, the ring is Puerto Rico, and you're in Puerto Rico. Yeah. I don't understand it. I really am trying so hard to see what the gimmick is supposed to be.
And like, why do I like why as an audience member do I care about them?
Because they work for the tourism board of Puerto Rico. That's what I'm assuming the gimmick is. The big reveal is that this whole time they've either been like tourist like guides, like tour like agents who book tours, or that they're clinically insane and they've never been to Puerto Rico.
Oh my god, if it is the latter, I will give them all the props in the world, but
that'd be sweet. That crowd, I've literally never heard a crowd so just like the shrug emoji. Like, no one was booing, no one was clapping, no one was cheering. People weren't even going like, what? They were just standing in silence. just the dead, you get like just so dead. And then they come out there and they're like, yeah, Puerto Rico. And everyone's just like, okay.
You know we're North Carolina, right?
What? Where's Puerto Rico? And then they go in there and they beat the two NXT guys who were also called by the wrong names. And then they're like, and then like the way that they are, it's impossible to tell if their faces are heels because they're kind of dicks about it. But then they're also just sort of like happy and they're just like, everyone's cool.
Honestly, their character is just Puerto Rico. Like,
they're not good guys.
They're not bad guys.
They're Puerto Ricans.
That's it.
That should be their t-shirts. That'd be so dope. Bring back Carlito.
Huh, look. It's Extreme Rules commercial on your TV.
Ladybugs.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, but Noonday promo.
Noonday promo. You left amazing, amazing throwback to Kofi Kingston's career.
I loved it when so they get into the time machine. If you haven't seen it yet, stop listening to this. Pause this podcast if you haven't seen this promo yet. And just Google search Noonday time machine promo Raw. Or at least some of those keywords. And then
SEO.
It's so good. They stop the time machine at a certain point and check if it's, you know, where they want to be. And Kofi gets out and his old theme hits, like the Jamaican Kofi theme. And he does the boom boom boom, and then he does the accent. He's like, "Who wants to hang out with Kofi Kingston?" And then they try to pull him back in the time machine. He's like, "No. No, leave me here. 2009 was a great year for me." I love that promo. It was a little weird at the end when they sort of it. I don't know if that kind of ran out of steam, but the derriere squares was kind of funny that their booty is turned into derriere squares. And then they, you know, started to do the rotation and hip jiving, and you know, they were like, you know, "We are better than the bygone era, and we're the WWE champions. Vaudevillains attacked." But I thought it was a hilarious promo. Everything they do is just, I don't understand. And they just are the best at coming up with promos that lead to unconventional merch.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I bought you the unicorn horn for Extreme Rules.
Oh, yeah. But you know they're going to come up with, like, an old school, like, Derriere Squares t-shirt now.
I hope so. Everything about New Day is just... And you know what the best part about New Day is? If you think about it, and maybe this gives hope to the Shining Stars. Because when New Day came out, keep in mind they had that other logo, the Phoenix-y logo.
The sun-looking thing.
They were very seriously supposed to be
face preacher gospel
preacher people. Gospel people. Yeah, and they were supposed to come out, and that's where the power positivity thing even happened. And then they took that gimmick. It didn't get over. And when people started to just be like, "These guys are awful," they ran with it and built up that heel
heat. That New Day sucks.
And they were like, "The New Day rocks. New Day rocks.
Sucks."
And people went with the sucks, and they knew that it was going to happen. They planned it so perfectly. They sort of pulled a Damian Sandow and just took what they were given and just turned it and ran with it right into the end zone. And then after all that heel heat, they finally, people started actually being like, "You know what, though? But they're pretty cool.
But New Day does rock."
And now they're so ridiculously over. And
the most over things WWE has seen in years.
And also, they're over, and they're not even characters anymore. They're just kind of themselves.
Oh, yeah. Big E's just him.
And Xavier is just him, and Kofi. Like, the fact that they're out there making nerdy references and making, like, the innuendo jokes and everything, they get to just sort of go out for, you know, a couple hours every week and be themselves on TV.
And just goof off.
That's beautiful. And you know what? Maybe, you know what? You can never count out weird gimmicks in WWE.
So you're saying Primo and Epico are the new...
No, I'm not saying they're the new New Day. The new New Day. I'm just saying that, like, look, when they were Los Matadores, it didn't, like, catch on completely. But there was a little bit there, and when they had El Torito, and they can hang in the ring. Like, clearly they know how to work.
Well, they are Guerreros.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's just, you know, clearly they know how to work, but, like, hopefully maybe they can pull this one out of the fire, figure out some interesting... If it's every week them walking out to the ring, ambiguously not face, not heel, with flowers in their hands, talk about Puerto Rico.
And ambiguously being gay, even though they're brothers...
Yeah, that's also kind of weird.
Anyway, let's just move on.
WWE loves booking these weird semi-pseudo-incestuous stories. Like, everyone on the internet's been talking about how it's like, wow, is it weird that, like, Stephanie and Shane, like, it feels like there's, like, sexual tension on the screen. I don't quite see it the way that other people are, but, like, enough people are commenting online going, are Steph and Shane gonna, like, bang? That it's like...
Oh, they're gonna fuck.
That you can't ignore it. And like, and then I rewatched some of their like backstage promo stuff after I read that online, and I was like, oh wow. Yeah, it's kind of like this awkward, flirty first date tension going
on.
It's
definitely an awkward flirty first date thing.
And I'm like, this is... And like, also,
it's like Shano is like courting the McMahon family again to be back in as a McMahon. And they're like treating him really nicely.
It's so weird. And also, here's the thing is that like Vince will do incest storyline. Because when Steph got pregnant a couple years ago, it's very well known and widely reported that like he wanted to do an angle where it was revealed on Raw
that he was that the Vince father.
Was the father. And I'm like, that is the most disgusting promo I've ever heard. And I mean, I watched them do a thing where Big Show's fake dead dad that was imitating Paul White's real dead dad that, you know, he had taken time off because his dad had died. His fake dead dad's corpse in a casket getting pulled by, like, I think it was Big Boss Man in a truck. And then, like, the Triple H pretending to be Kane having sex with a dead woman. They've done some terrible, awful promos on WWE. But I feel like that is one of the worst I've ever heard, is that you're going to come out on that. I mean, it's up there with the whole, like,
I mean, drugging they didn't Linda do McMahon. It, at least thank they God. Didn't do it.
Because, dude, like, here's a question. How the fuck after you do that, if you do that promo, you're Vince McMahon, right? Uh-huh. And you're like, I got an idea. I want to do a promo where I am the father of my daughter's baby. Okay.
So you're going to go out there and admit that you had sex with your daughter.
So, here's my question, Bob. Let's ignore that. Let's say that it goes over like gangbusters on TV.
Uh-huh.
What is Thanksgiving dinner like? Fuck that. What's even with that angle not happening, what's Thanksgiving dinner like for the McMahons? So, Linda, sorry for making out with Trish Stratus.
Sorry about those drugs.
Sorry about drugging you on TV. I know it's an angle, but sorry for making you look like a goof, and then you lost your Senate run or whatever.
Then he looks up and Triple H sneezes and,
damn it, Paul! Thought I told you not to sneeze.
I that family's so fucking weird. Like they're the royalty of wrestling, but they are just so weird.
Anyway. I feel like that's all I really want to say about this week's wrestling.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of been very just like we had Payback at the beginning of May, and then they kind of were like, "All right, the Raw after Payback, let's set up everything for Extreme Rules." Then everyone's like, "Yeah," and then like, "Oh right, then we're gonna do the next 3 weeks of wrestling with some stuff." For Extreme Rules.
Yeah, it did kind of feel like just connective tissue in the middle. But, I mean, on one hand, yeah, it some of it felt a little rushed. But on the other hand, they're sticking to a lot of these stories. And I will say this, I'm overall happier post-WrestleMania with the product than I was in the months leading up to it.
I'll agree with you there.
Like, Rumble just got fucking annoying. And
that being said, I was looking forward to every single match at Mania except for the main event. And then they all kind of let me down.
Like, I felt like it was like halfway through, because we never actually talked about Mania on here, and I don't want to go too in-depth in it. But like, I felt like Mania started off with a pretty dope Kalisto Ryback match that nobody fucking saw.
Uh huh.
Then it had a really good women's match. A
serviceable 10 women tag match.
And there were some cool spots. Everything was good. Then Zach fucking Ryder wins the Intercontinental Championship. I lose my mind.
Uh huh.
My wife comes in from the other room asking why I'm screaming.
I that's about the time that my plan landed.
I was woo-woo-wooing so hard. Because I was coming
home from a wedding.
And I will say that one of the coolest moments I've had since I've been in New York was that at one point I was on my front porch because I needed a cigarette immediately after Zack Ryder won. And I went down there and something got a hold of me and I decided to give a little woo-woo-woo. And someone down the block wooed. Like did the woo-woo. And I was like, I fucking love this neighborhood. And so, you know, there was so much steam. And then something about a third or halfway through the card. And, I mean, didn't...
Honestly, okay. It was like, because after that, didn't they go into the tag match, and like the fucking New Day entrance was amazing.
Oh yeah, and the New Day entrance was great. The Bootia's and box,
then League of Nations comes out and beats them, and everyone goes,
but it's not for the title.
Okay.
And then the legends.
Legends come out, and everyone goes.
I mean, everyone. In fairness, don't downplay it. Everyone popped like crazy.
Sure. At the time,
right? I mean, in the heat of the moment. That's the weirdest thing about this WrestleMania is that in the moment they had me until they had me going and popping and marking out and having fun.
Until the entrances of the Trips Roman match,
probably, yeah. So all the way, but then
we were fucking marking all the way through the Shano Taker match.
But then like it was weird because like in retrospect, the WrestleMania was like, oh
yeah. So then, looking back, you're like, that was really.
They didn't build the Shano Mac match really well at all. It just sort of it escalated too quickly.
I mean, the worst thing of that night, I think, is the Brock Ambrose match. Oh, that was just like, it was just months of building it up with these legends coming up and giving weapons to Ambrose and helping him out, and you're like, oh man, this is gonna be some, you know, drag out, you know, bloody knuckle.
And it was throwing, it was like a glorified, you know, squash.
And yeah, and then, you know, just fucking a couple chair shots. And they, like, it was a street fight that was like 85% in the ring. And so it's just like, did you even try with that match?
Well, I think what happened was
it definitely felt like Ambrose was just like,
it felt like
he was going nuts. Ambrose was just like building up, and then like the day before, they're just like, "Whoa, shit! We let Ambrose go too far. Gotta pull him back in
with his wagon of toys." I feel like what happened was is that some of the early matches ran long, so they decided to, they were like, "Oh, we need to cut some time to save time," so they cut Ambrose Lesnar,
yeah.
But then they let The Rock walk around with a flamethrower
for a half hour
and squash Rowan and Bray Wyatt
for anyway. Let's move on. So anyway, let's just talk about Extreme. Can we just talk about Extreme Rules?
Yes.
Just move on. And talk about
Extreme Rules. Post WrestleMania, WWE has been pretty solid.
Yes,
and it's exciting. So we got like,
so we're going to Extreme Rules, and we're incredibly excited about that. It's in a couple days. We're going to talk a lot about Extreme Rules on our way there, but just before we go, we want to get our predictions in, officially get our picks on the record here. So
the first thing I want to ask for Extreme Rules is, before I get to the actual card picks, so a couple of conditionals.
Yeah.
So John Cena is slated to return on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
You do not see him coming at Extreme Rules.
No, not at Extreme Rules.
Bray Wyatt is slated to come back 2 weeks after Cena. You do not see him coming early.
No.
Seth Rollins is slated to come back.
No.
Randy Orton will not.
No.
Because he's dead.
No.
He's coming back in like September.
No.
Enzo Amore.
We are in Jersey. I see him coming back on the mic. So the way I see it is it's obviously going to be involved in the tag match at some capacity. Mm. So it's going to be New Day versus Vaudevillains for the belt. I see it as Vaudevillains start really beating up on New Day. Then we hear the mandolin come in. We see Enzo run out. I think that'll be the distraction on the Vaudevillains, or like they start going down to interrupt the match, but then the Dudleys come out to intercept the Enzo and Cass. Mm-hmm. And
Enzo probably is not cleared from his concussion.
The way I see it is, we're probably going to see. The way I am predicting it is that we'll see Enzo and Cass and the Dudleys further their feud, more or less in a promo, but we'll still see Cass do some kind of put the Dudleys through a table. It's Extreme Rules, and if the Dudleys don't go through a table, like, it's a wasted opportunity if the Dudleys don't go through a table at Extreme Rules. And I could see Cass throwing them through with Enzo on the mic. Is really what I'm getting at here.
Gotcha. So I think that's it for the returns. Do you see Stephanie McMahon continuing as a face? Or do you think she's turning heel at Extreme Rules?
Not Extreme Rules. It's definitely she's going to play this weird baby face thing through to SummerSlam at least.
Okay. So at SummerSlam, it'll be Triple H versus Shane McMahon in a Who Gets to Fuck Stephanie match.
Anyway.
All right. So to the card now.
The pre-show, which features everyone's favorite, Ziggy Corbin.
In a no disqualifications match, we've got Dolphy Ziggy versus Corbons.
Versus Corbonzo Beans.
So who do you got, Bob?
Who
did Bob got?
Let's see.
Remember, there's no disqualifications because this feud needed that.
Well, and actually, I'm looking at the card because you still have your card on your whiteboard on your wall.
Are you talking about from last time we predicted? Yeah,
from Payback. Oh, yeah. And so Ziggler Corbin ended in a DQ, which is why they did a no DQ.
Gotcha. So is that what happened?
We both picked Baron Corbin and both are XO. Now
Ziggler won clean.
Oh right, Ziggler did win clean.
Yeah, this was Payback, right? The Payback predictions. I gotta clean my whiteboard.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, Corbin lost clean to Ziggler, and you know, it's actually funny too because a lot of these feuds have still carried over from Payback to this.
Payback is more Extreme Rules is more Payback than Payback was.
Yeah, Ryback evolved into Rusev, and then vaudevillains are taking on New Day. The Miz versus Cesaro and Zayn versus Owens matches got basically
combined,
fused, and the rest of the card is pretty much the same. I won that, by the way, 8-5.
Anyway,
glory to me.
I see Corbin winning this one.
I mean, that makes the most sense.
But it's WWE. We both picked Corbin winning last time. So
you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and join you and pick Corbin because there's like no reason for Ziggler to win. Which is exactly why he's going to.
All right. And I guess there's
Usos versus Club Sandwich on the Tornado.
I don't know if that's on the pre-show.
It is on the pre-show. Okay. They announced it on WWE.com.
Okay.
Pre-show, the Club Sandwich versus the Usos in a Tornado match is the stipulation.
Tornado tag.
Who do you got?
You know, these guys have been back and forth since the club has debuted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say the club wins because it's going to foreshadow an AJ win, which isn't coming.
Mm. I'm going to go...
Right, you know, okay, make the club look strong at the start.
My gut says that the club hasn't won shit in a while,
mm-hmm.
and that the Usos will win because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart says... that you're correct in that they'll foreshadow an AJ win with the club, and then the Usos will come out all banged up but still help Roman. The other thing too is I'm sort of metagaming on these picks and looking ahead on the card and going, okay, what's our face to heel prediction ratio?
I'm gonna go Usos. Okay.
So next, we have Kalisto versus Rusev in a, as of yet, no stipulation. They've not announced a stipulation for the U.S. Championship match. First off,
Kalisto's kayfabe injured. Keep in mind, Kalisto's kayfabe injured.
Was he?
Yes.
From the ADR match?
No, from the Rusev put him in the Alkalade, and they had like the five refs rush out, and
right.
and that kayfabe injured him. And WWE.com ran an article about how Kalisto was injured from his match with Rusev, and
I mean he's still in the match as of now.
Oh yeah, no, it's still going on. So he's just kayfabe injured.
So
for
who
the match.
Do you have?
I'm picking Rusev. I think they're going to finally elevate the U.S. title a bit. stick it on the way that they've been booking Rusev. He's been he's been booked as like this monster heel again.
I agree. I cannot wait for him to get the belt so he can drop it to Cena at SummerSlam. I agree. I think Rusev will also win. Do you think they'll add a stipulation?
No. I think they'll just do a match.
How boring. Next up is The New Day versus the Vaudevillains.
Tags.
And again, currently no stipulation. As of yet, there's no stipulation.
You know, it's actually really funny. If you listen to my work podcast that is now defunct, I had been saying that New Day had to lose the belts because they need to switch up their gimmick and just they had to lose the belts. And I've been saying this since like January, but now I don't think so. I think New Day is going to keep the belts going because I don't. The big thing is I don't think that WWE would elevate a new tag team like Vaudevillains that fucking fast,
right?
Because like New Day has held onto these belts for a long time, and I think WWE realizes the selling power of New Day, and they're going to give them the record for longest tag team champs, which they're not far from at this point.
You know, now that you mentioned the longest tag team champs thing, I'm going to go ahead and switch my pick to them. Originally, I said that I was thinking they were going to like do some sort of like hot shot with the title where like Vaudevillains win it and lose it the next night on Raw. But now that you bring that up, I'll stick with New Day. Ambrose versus Chris Jericho in the Asylum match.
Which is just like, the match should be fun. The match should be fun to watch.
It'd be more fun if they didn't show that there's a door on the cage, because even though you, quote, can't go through the door to win, you can still get, you could go through the door if you wanted to.
It's also, the cage isn't caged at the top.
Right.
You can climb over it.
But have they actually announced, now that I think about it, how you win the match?
Is
it
they said pinfall or submission. You can only win by pinfall or submission.
That's kind of a bummer. I was really hoping it was going to be like whoever puts their opponent in the straitjacket or like whoever gets Mitch 2 or...
Well...
Whoever... Yeah. Whoever.
Hey, man, you could still submit someone in the straitjacket.
That's true. So who do you got?
Well, last time I had a Jericho match on the card that I predicted, I said it made absolutely no sense for Jericho to win against AJ Styles. And boy, was I wrong, because WrestleMania was stupid. But this time, it really doesn't make sense for Jericho to win. So I'm going to go with it and say Ambrose.
Good choice, Bob. Good choice.
Especially since I don't think Jericho is going to be his current run is going to last for much longer.
So Jericho's current run is ending, but Ambrose won a match against Jericho at Payback. And so I'm worried that maybe they're going to do like a rubber match at Money in the Bank, but I don't know. I just want this feud to be over. I'm going to also go Ambrose, which also I mark out for Dean Ambrose. So,
and I mean it's an Asylum match, so that should be quote unquote home turf, you know, for Dean.
So far, you have two heels and two faces winning, and so far I have 1, 2, 3 faces and one heel winning.
All right.
All right. Next up. Oh, I take that back.
I don't care, honestly, because
I also picked Rusev.
I don't care.
Charlotte, Natalya, women's submission match where Ric Flair is banned from ringside, and if he shows up, Natalya wins the title. Also, you think it's also no DQ. I haven't heard that, but regardless, submission match. Who do you got?
I mean, logic dictates it's Natty. Natty has not really lost to Charlotte. I mean, she's lost officially, but not really.
Right.
And Charlotte has lost to Natty. Again, not officially, but she has tapped out to Natty's submissions multiple times.
Correct.
So I think we're going to finally see a women's title shift to Natty. I think she'll be a great transitional champ. and then she's probably going to retire soon. Man, honestly,
I want you to know how
so much I think I she'll be pick. A good transitional champ.
I love that pick. I absolutely am in love with that pick. I want to see that happen live. It won't, Charlotte.
Ha.
I'm sorry. It's just
because like you're like logic says based on how they booked it that
ain't no logic.
That Natty's gonna win, and then you're like, all right, logic for WWE logic dictates fuck you, Charlotte.
Do not try to put logic in WWE.
Anyway, moving on.
It's like ammonia and bleach, dude. They do not mix. You cannot put logic in WWE storylines, or they blow up. All right, two left. Miz, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Fatal 4-Way, DQs.
This is a tough one. Miz is the you know, current champ going in, so you'd think he would be the favorite, but
he also will have Maryse with him.
He will have Maryse with him. And it's no DQ, so she's probably going to get involved somehow. That being said, I think it's going to go to either Owens or Zayn. I think my bet is going to go with they put it back on Owens. He seems like he wants it the most.
Kayfabe. Kevin Owens. I don't think the KO Zayn feud needs a title. And Miz is one of those transitional heels who is great to get the title off someone like Ryder and put it onto someone else. And then when they need to move the belt from a face to a face, but they don't want the faces to fight, the Miz comes in, steals a couple wins, gets the belt, and then drops it to the other person. So I'm going to go Cesaro. I think that the thing is while I feel like Cesaro is due for a bigger push and something higher than the IC title, right now it's a little crowded at the top, and you're going to have another couple of top guys coming back. So I feel like this is Cesaro's time to get the IC title and have a little run. And I like that he's back. I like that he's over. I like the gimmick thing. It's kind of
yeah,
cool.
No, I like that pick. You know, WWE is obviously showing that they recognize the fans' investment in Cesaro with section. Well, they made the Cesaro section T-shirt like that. That's at least recognizing the fans.
Roman Reigns is still alive.
But that's because we love to hate him. That's because we just love to boo him.
Yeah,
that's
Michael.
So it's good to see Cesaro getting a push. I think I like your pick, but I'm still gonna, again, WWE logic, think it goes on to Owens. Anyway, last one, the big one,
the last one,
Extreme Rules match.
Who do you think gets announced first, JBL, Michael, or Saxton? The main event of Extreme Rules.
Saxton.
Probably.
Anyway,
AJ Styles,
Roman Reigns rematch from Payback.
No,
which, and by rematch I mean it's like the rematch because they fought at Payback, but then they also fought at Payback, but then they also fought at Payback. Because that match got restarted twice. So this one is starting off right at the bat, no DQ. We can guarantee interference. There were two names that you did not mention on your potential appearance list.
Are you talking about Balor or Samoa Joe?
Balor or Joe?
Okay, before the podcast, Bob and I have been talking about how I thought that the Samoan Hit Squad would be a dope stable. If you had Samoa Joe come up and join the Bloodline and be the heavy for Roman Reigns and the Usos, and then having Balor come up to be a part of the club sandwich would really stir things up, and I feel like would also eventually turn into Balor Club, Bullet Club, Club Sandwich turning on AJ and setting up sort of them being heels against him, and then also the Samoan Hit Squad becoming heels as well, and that I felt like it would be a great opportunity for Seth Rollins to come back and join Dean Ambrose and have to face up against Roman, and then ultimately the dissolving of the bloodline would be a reuniting of the Shield. I'm talking like super long term. Here's why I no longer think that's going to happen, is that they're announcing Joe and Finn at a takeover event later in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I,
which will be a cell match.
Yeah, I just don't think that they, before that, they're going to call either of them up. Because I know that some superstars have come up and then still maintained
both. Yeah,
yeah, presence.
But they wouldn't take both of their top stars to
right
dance in between both promotions.
Especially since they already have other NXT stars they've called up, like Apollo Crews, who they've done nothing with.
He's just kind of jabbed around.
I mean, you know, Apollo Crews. I mean, I don't even think Apollo Crews really jobbed at all. I just think
that he's gotten the jobbers to job for him around.
Yeah, but then they just sort of have been like, we have nothing for you right now, so they pushed him off to the side. So I worry that if they brought up Finn or Samoa Joe,
that could happen too. Yeah,
easily, especially when you have Orton, Cena, Rollins, Neville to a lesser extent, Wyatt all coming back in a relatively short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to be careful about oversaturation. I mean, hopefully Nikki Bella comes back and helps shake up. Dude, no, I am dead serious. Do not laugh. Nikki Bella got much better towards the end of her run before the neck injury, and I think she would be great to shake this up. She'd be a super mega turbo heel. So much heat. Nuclear. I'd love it.
You're nuclear.
Okay, so let's get back to this. Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles. Who wins?
I mean,
who wins?
My heart says AJ, but my brain says Roman.
You still have three lifelines.
Roman. It's Roman. It's Roman. Let's not kid ourselves.
That your final answer?
Yes.
Bob Fackety, for the $1 million. You are correct. That is who is going to win Extreme Rules. Roman Reigns will retain. Also, I'm letting you know, I'm going to put the Who Wants a Millionaire music in there.
Yeah, bitch.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we got our picks. They're all locked in.
Picks in. Wait, you didn't say who you thought was going to win?
Oh, Roman Reigns. That's what I was saying. It's the correct answer. AJ Styles will not win. That's not going to happen.
All right.
So.
All right.
Last question. Very last question of the show.
To wrap up the show.
And I'm going to give you a dealer's choice on which question you want to answer.
Yeah.
Either what is your favorite stipulation that is not on the Extreme Rules card? Like if you could add a stipulation to the tag match or whatever, U.S. Championship. Or the other question is, there's a rumor going around that the planned main event for SummerSlam is John Cena versus Roman Reigns for the heavyweight championship.
Oh shit. That's like an unmovable force versus
it's an uncheerable force versus an imbuable object. So I'll let you have your choice. You can answer one or both, either or, whatever. What's your favorite stipulation that is not on the Extreme Rules card that you want to see, or how the fuck do you feel about digesting John Cena versus Roman Reigns?
The second one I don't want to think about right now. So the first one, easy. I know it's kind of, unfortunately, it's recycling in a way, which sucks, but I really like it. Is 2 out of 3 falls.
I love that.
Best of three falls. Like I said, we've already seen a Kalisto ADR best of three falls, but I think a Kalisto Rusev best of three falls would be really good.
It could be. Could be very good. Or doing, instead of doing it 2 out of 3, doing an Iron Man where, you know, it's just whoever gets the most pinfalls or
submissions. Yeah, like a 15 or 30 minute Iron Man. Sure.
I'm not talking a full hour, but
you know,
15, 20 minute, maybe even 30, depending on the quality of who's in it. Because, I mean, an AJ Roman 30 minute Iron Man, no shit, it could be fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I had to pick a stipulation that is not on the card that I would love to put on to one of these matches that doesn't have a stipulation right now, I've always been fond of the Boiler Room brawls, and I don't think they do enough backstage stuff anymore. But at the same time, I would, I mean, again, this is, you know, PG era. I don't know if they could, if they would do it, but flaming table match was always
when were they trying to I feel like they were just setting up a flaming table spot.
The Dudleys kind of teased one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was at Mania or if it was prior to Mania. I feel like it might have been at Mania where Bubba Ray got out the lighter fluid and started to light the table. But like, well, he started to pour it on the table, but then before he could like light it, he was like attacked and then put through the table. So I would love to see it, you know, a flaming table match. I always thought that was super cool, that element of danger and relatively, you know, low risk if done properly. You know, yeah. Edge had that dope spot with Mick Foley with the flaming table. You know, if you do it right. And I know that there's a lot of stuff they can't bring back, like the barbed wire thing that they're teasing for Ambrose is not going to happen. No. They won't do it. So barbed wire is kind of out of the question. But if they didn't do a flaming table match, if they were just like absolutely not, then probably a buried alive match. I was always a big fan of the Undertaker buried alive matches, where you had to put somebody into a coffin. Mm-hmm.
And then actually put dirt on them.
In the ground and bury them. Like, how dope is that stipulation? But anyway. All right, guys. Anyway. Well, we're getting close to that hour mark. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up and get the hell out of here. We're going to record something probably on our way to Extreme Rules this Sunday in sunny, fabulous Newark, New Jersey.
Newark.
So we'll probably record something and try to put it up. Try to put it up after we get back from the show that night. Or if I could figure out how to do it mobile, might do that. Oh, shit. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in to Small Package. I've been Corey Poindexter. This has been, what's your name again?
You know it's Bob Feckety Girl. Oh, yeah. SOS.
And that's where we're at the show.